Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Earlier today, as you'll know, the former Labour Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister Grant Robertson drew the curtains on a 15-year parliamentary career. Robertson's last address in the House was described as a must-watch for political tragics, given his significance and his public speaking ability. Here's a sample of it.
And to my mum. Weave through this speech has been my admiration for strong women. The strongest of them all is my mum. It's your values, your love, and your spirit that I have spent a lifetime trying to match. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about each week without me being here, but at least we can both complain about the government now. Thank you for everything. I love you with all my heart.
During the nearly 40-minute speech, he touched on his successes, his failures, and also, as you might have expected, included some gentle and humorous barbs thrown at his now former colleagues. But what about those who are on the other side of politics? What did they think of that speech and Grant Robertson's legacy? Well, to help us answer that, we're joined now by the former National MP and former Attorney General, Chris Finlayson. Good evening, Chris. Thanks for joining us. Nice to chat.
Good to talk to you.
So what did you make of this speech, all in all?
I thought it was a good tribal Labour speech. I think that Grant leaves politics with a lot to be proud of. It was a humorous speech. He was always a very good performer in the House. And it's one of those speeches that one gives. You have to spend some time thanking people, as indeed I did, and then left on a very high note, reinforcing the message that it behoves all politicians, regardless of political stripe, to give people hope.
You've written and delivered a valedictory speech. What is the point? Well, what was the point of it, the valedictory speech, to your mind?
I think acknowledging those who had helped. I, for example, acknowledged my close friends, my family, those who helped me in my hopeless quest for winning Rongotai against Annette King. and then what you have to do is just leave with just a couple of points. You can't go on at length about the future and your hopes and so on, but just making a couple of points, which is what I tried to do and what Grant did.
There were some nice lines in there. I thought you might like, you cannot bark at every car, but it can be tough if there's a convoy of stupidity passing by. He had a way with words, Grant Robertson, as you did, Chris, in the debating chamber.
Yeah, he was a very smart person who enjoyed the chamber. You know, if you're a politician, I think you've really got to love the House, go and sit down there and watch and so on. I used to go down as a kid and watch Parliament. It was always very interesting. At about 9:30 at night, Muldoon would come in and sit with the gang and cause a bit of trouble and so on. Muldoon loved the House. The House is a very special place. I can't understand why someone would want to simply go in there as Prime Minister, answer questions, and then leave. You know, the place is there to be. You breathe in the history. You enjoy the camaraderie of your colleagues. One night after dinner, I think it was a Wednesday night, I was sitting with Maggie Barry and a couple of other louts in the National Party, and we were just giving Mallard hell. Mm-hmm. And it was just really good fun. In fact, we gave him a standing ovation at the end of the speech because it was so dreadful.
Chris, you also got a mention in Grant Robertson's speech. What is it about the word Mondayisation that you dislike so much?
Yeah, well, I have many hates in this life, but I can't I can't quite recall my moaning about Mundayisation, but come to think of it, it's such a clumsy, goofy kind of word. Yes, I probably did express my hatred for it at some stage.
It's a lot of vowels rolling together, isn't it? It doesn't flow off the tongue.
It doesn't flow off the tongue, no. It's a clumsy word.
You were in Parliament at the same time as Grant Robertson, up until recently, of course. What are your recollections of him? Of course, he was on the other side of the, you know, he was on the other team, but politicians of different parties do indeed fraternise, don't they?
Oh, yeah, I never really fraternised with Grant, but I always liked him and respected him. I recall there were these very human moments. He mentioned his dad in his valedictory, and I recall reading the death notice in the paper and just dropped Grant a note across the house to express my sympathy. And you get to know people. He was a very competent political operator, much more so than me. And he's left, on balance, a good contribution to politics.
You hear that phrase thrown around a bit, competent political operator. What does that phrase mean?
Well, he certainly was well schooled in politics. He mentioned Heather Simpson, who was a very, very competent and bright political operator, Helen Clark, who is one of our great prime ministers. He was very generous about Marion Hobbs. I think he provided more assistance to Marion Hobbs than she to him. But he was well schooled in politics by the time he went into Parliament, which is probably why he was so good at it. He loved politics. He loved the fight. He was a very staunch Labour man and represented that strong social democratic tradition which has done so much for our country over the years.
For many people, including, I imagine, the historians, he will probably be best remembered as the finance minister who had to navigate the COVID pandemic, the unprecedented COVID pandemic. As a fellow politician, what am I trying to ask here? I mean, that task of being the finance minister at a period like that, you must have real appreciation for how gargantuan that task was and how difficult it would be to get it, quote-unquote, right.
Oh, sure. It was a once-in-a-100-year event. English had a similar experience after Christchurch, yeah. And it all boils down to what Grant said and I'm sure Bill English would agree. At times like that, you've got to give people hope. So a tough, Micawber-ish approach to the purse strings doesn't work at that time. He had to keep New Zealand going, just as Bill did after Christchurch, and give people hope.
Do you think you have to accept when you pursue a career in politics that most people aren't really going to like you that much, or at least many people really aren't going to like you that much?
Oh, well, we're either sort of generally centre-left or centre-right in our thinking, and I suppose that's true. But I think Grant will leave knowing that I think most people did like him, actually.
Yeah, I actually, after I asked that, I feel like I should rephrase that and say, are going to vehemently disagree with you regardless of what they... of what you say back to them?
Yeah, people would disagree. But, yeah, I think people, you know, after you've left politics, I find the ideological divide sort of slips away a bit, and you recognise that people do their best for their country. They may make mistakes. Now, Grant and I have a completely different outlook on life, if you like, in some respects. Mm. He's a social democrat, I'm a liberal conservative, but I'm enough of a political historian to know that when you tally up the good that both sides did, it's, you know, it's roughly 50-50. And I think of some of what National did not pursue in government that was probably a mistake. I think the worst one was ditching Roger Douglas' superannuation scheme. Mm. I think, you know, on the other hand, I think that the National government that I was a member of did a lot on the infrastructure front, and Stephen Joyce, for example, I praise every time I drive along Transmission Gully. So both parties, actually, the big beasts of politics, end up doing a lot for the country in, you know, roughly equal measure.
He never made it to the top job. He most recently ruled himself out to replace Jacinda Ardern. And not every politician wants to be prime minister or would necessarily make a good prime minister. Do you think he would have?
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't take it on when Jacinda left. I think he would have lost because it's one of those ironclad rules of politics that if you take on the premiership midterm, you're destined to lose. Bill Rowling, Jack Marshall, Jenny Shipley, Bill English, they all suffered that fate. But I think he would have probably done a better job than Hipkins.
All in all, what do you think Grant Robertson's legacy will be?
A tribal Labour politician, a very loyal member of the Labour team, a very good parliamentary performer in the House, basically a very generous human being who had to steer the country through the dark depths of the COVID period and give people hope. And I think he can look back and say, well, I had my ups and downs, I made mistakes, but I did that and I did that pretty well. And I think people will agree that he did.
Christopher Finlayson, thank you very much for coming on and reflecting on Grant Robertson's political career. It's nice chatting to you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.